So today we are going to have the deduction part in respect of income from other sources. Here, deduction means while calculating the income from other sources, under Section 56 of the Income Tax Act, you know income from other sources is under Section 56. So while calculating the income from other sources, the gross income under Section 56 cannot be treated as total taxable income in that head of income. What you will do? You will have to compute the net income which is taxable under the head income from other sources. So always be very considerate, always be very careful. That income is there, but is it the taxable income in a particular head of income? The answer may not be right, because the person, in order to earn the income, has to spend money. Now, whether this money spent shall be treated as a deduction while calculating the income from that head, and only the net amount shall be subject and brought to tax ambit or realm or matrix? The answer is yes. Therefore, while calculating the income from other sources, which is described under Section 56(1), subsection 56(2) of the Income Tax Act, there is a particular concept of deduction also, that that income in entirety on gross basis cannot be subject to tax. Under Section 57 of the Income Tax Act, which talks about deduction. Now, deduction means the amounts which you have spent to earn this income is called as deductions. Now, Income Tax Act says that deductions, suppose you have considered, what you call it, dividend income. Now, as a rule, dividend income from Indian companies is exempt to tax under Section 10, subsection 34 of the Income Tax Act. Dividend income is not taxable, but dividend income is a part of income from other sources. But in the outer column, the dividend income shall not be subject to tax. Let us take an example. Suppose I have received, say I am shareholder of X Limited, and I am having 100 shares of X Limited. Now X Limited declares 70 rupees dividend on this, on what you call it, profits, or to the shareholders. Now 70 rupees per share. So what is my total dividend income from X Limited in by way of shares? This is 7,000 rupees. Now this 7,000 rupees, we have to understand whether it is taxable or not. That and the entire concept of taxability of dividend depends upon the fact that if X Limited is an Indian company or a domestic company, and this domestic company, while distributing the dividends to its shareholders, would be liable to deduct dividend distribution tax under Section 115(o) of the Income Tax Act. So if the dividend distribution tax has been deducted and this amount of 7,000 has been received from X Limited, which is a domestic company, which is an Indian company, and the company itself has deducted on this dividend amount dividend distribution tax, and after distributing the dividend, after deducting the dividend distribution tax, if 7,000 rupees has been given to the shareholder by way of dividend, this amount of 7,000 rupees shall not be taxable, because this will be exempt under Section 10, subsection 34 of the Income Tax Act. So what you will write? Dividend from companies, Indian companies or domestic companies, because every domestic company has to be an Indian company. So dividend from domestic company shall not be taxed because the company performs the obligation of the shareholders and the company itself deducts the tax and net amount is sent to the shareholders. Now again the shareholder would not be liable to pay the tax on that, otherwise it would tantamount to be double taxation. That's why dividend shall not be taxable. However, certainly it has to be shown as income from other sources. Now I'll tell you again. So suppose I have received, Mr. 7,000 rupees dividend from X Limited, on which the company has deducted the dividend distribution tax, has been deducted by the company under section 115O of the income tax. Now this is income from other sources, 7,000 less exemption under section 10 subsection 34, 7,000 rupees. So the entire amount shall be exempt, so nil tax. Now let us reverse the situation. Suppose I am the shareholder of Y Limited, and Y Limited is a foreign company. Now please understand, Y Limited is a foreign company and Y Limited has given you dividend amounting to rupees 7,000 on the shares which you are holding. Now the question arises, shall this dividend, which is received not from an Indian company, not from a domestic company, not from that company which is deducting dividend distribution tax, shall this dividend which has not been out of the dividend distribution tax under section 115, because foreign companies do not deduct the dividend distribution tax, they are not supposed to deduct the dividend distribution tax. Only Indian companies are supposed to deduct the dividend distribution tax under section 115O of the Income Tax Act. Now this shall not be exempt because section 10 subsection 34 only talks about dividend of an Indian company is exempt. Now in this case, this 7,000 rupees, it has come from a foreign country. Now bank starts charging the bank charges on realization of the check. Bank charges. Suppose bank has charged 500 rupees for realization of this check, because bank has to collect this check from the foreign branch. Now this amount shall be eligible for deduction under section 57 subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act, because rupees 500 have been paid out of the collection charges to the bank. Bank is your agent, he would collect money on your behalf, but the bank has incurred some expenses. Now this expense would be bona fide allowed as a deduction, because you have spent this money for realizing this 7,000. So only 6,500 shall be taxed, but this amount shall not be exempt because this dividend is from a foreign company. So can we say that the collection charges paid or realization charges paid to a bank or to any other person for this dividend amount shall be deductible under section 57 subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. So this is how the first deduction is there. Is that clear? Very good. You all are very learning students, but I really appreciate the way you are showing your enthusiasm to learn this tax. Mind it well, dear students. Hard work and dedication is the only answer to the success. Luck plays a role, but if your hard work, your dedication can overstep the luck. And when you put your efforts in learning anything in your life, mind it well, the value of the luck immediately comes down, because now you are out of your own. So you have to do very hard work. You have to forget all the vices. You have to be punctual in your studies. You have to be enthusiastic in your studies, otherwise success will be far, far away. But if you really dedicate yourself, success is very near to you. Just success will come to you. You don't have to go to the success. Is that clear? So let us go to the next deduction. Now, when we talk about the next deduction, suppose I have let out a plant and machinery, and my yearly income from letting out of the plant and machinery is 7 lakhs rupees. I have let out a plant and machinery. My yearly income is 7 lakhs rupees. Now the question would arise in your mind as to whether the plant and machinery letting out, shall it be treated as income from other sources, or should it be treated as income from or profits from business or profession? The line of demarcation is very thin. However, it may be treated as income from other sources provided it does not fulfill the basic criteria of section 2, subsection 13, which talks about the meaning of business. So, if letting out of the plant and machinery is not your business, then this will be treated as income from other sources because it cannot escape the tax net. So once it is treated as income from other sources, my question to you, you have incurred rupees 10,000 for repairs during the previous year. You means you, the owner, the lesser. The lessee will not, incur the expenses. You have let it out. It becomes in the contract, if it is written that the lessor would pay for the repairs or would carry out the repairs or maintenance, annual maintenance. And suppose you have paid 10,000 rupees for annual maintenance of the machinery which has been let out by you to the other person, and he pays you 7 lakhs rupees yearly as a rent, then repairs and maintenance, say rupees 5,000, and depreciation. Now please understand, depreciation is not only restricted to profits and gains of business or profession. Depreciation comes under section 32, subsection 1. But this depreciation, its role is not only limited or restricted or chained under business or profession. If the plant and machinery which has been let out, can the lessor, who is the lessor? The person who lets out is called as lessor. Can the lessor claim the depreciation in respect of that plant and machinery which has been let out? Please answer the question. I really do not know the answer. My view, my answer is yes, yes, and yes. Why? Because depreciation is nothing but obsolescence. If the machinery becomes obsolete over a period of time, because of wear and tear, the value of the machine comes down. So, assessee has got the right to claim the depreciation in respect of plant and machinery. Now, if the right is given, under which section this right is given? Because in Income Tax Act, any act, if the right is given, it must be under a section, under a particular section. Now, under Section 57, Subsection 2 of the Income Tax Act, the assessee can claim the depreciation in respect of this plant and machinery. Say the depreciation is 15%. So 70,000 plus 35,000, 1,05,000 shall be treated as depreciation, and the assessee shall be entitled for deduction of rupees 1,20,000 for this from the rent which he receives. So only 5,80,000 shall be treated as his let out income, and this let out income shall be treated as income from other sources, because these deductions by way of repairs, by renewal, by maintenance shall be allowed as a deduction by virtue of Section 57, Subsection 2. Not only this, Section 57, Subsection 2 also mentions the Section 32 of the Income Tax Act. Section 57 also mentions Section 30. Section 57 also mentions Section 31. This Section 30, 31 and 32 are the part of profits and gains of business or profession. But still, Section 57 makes use of these, what you call it, specific sections while calculating the income from let out of the plant and machinery. Now the question arises, if I don't let out the plant and machinery, but if I let out the building, now shall it be treated as income from other sources or shall it be treated as income from house property? Mind it well, students. If the building is let out, of course, it should go under the head house property. But if the building is not owned by the person, say it is sublet, then it will not be treated as a house property income, because in house property income, there must be the property. And what is the meaning of property? Property means ownership. In subletting, the ownership does not lie with the subletter. The ownership lies with somebody else. Now the question arises, shall this building which has been let out or sublet be treated as income from house property? It may not be treated as income from house property in certain situations. So once it is not treated as income from house property, it must be treated as income from other sources. And once it is treated as income from other sources, the assessee has got all the rights to claim the deduction in respect of repairs, maintenance, depreciation in respect of that building. Now here, the depreciation, the rate of depreciation shall be 10%, not 15%, because in 15% is the rate of depreciation, general rate of depreciation in case of plant and machinery, which is defined under Section 43, Subsection 3 of the Income Tax Act. But here, the Rule 5 of the Income Tax Act, Appendix in the rule says depreciation on buildings shall be at 10%. That's why that amount will be reduced to say rupees 70,000, and the assessee shall get what you call it 85,000 as the deduction, and balance amount of rupees 6,15,000 shall be treated as income from other sources. This is how we have to understand the concept. Now, in case of furniture which is let out, same treatment. So please understand what I want to say, my dear friends. While calculating income from other sources, all the legitimate deductions, all the bona fide deductions, which all the bona fide expenses which have actually wholly and exclusively incurred to to earn that income shall be allowed as a deduction, but that deduction must be within the parameters, within the limits, within the scale, within the realm of Section 57 of the Income Tax Act. So, while claiming the deduction from income from other sources, you have to be very careful as to whether it fulfills the conditions laid down for deductions under Section 57 of the Income Tax Act or not. Be very careful. Now, let's go for the third deduction. The third deduction is, what do you call it, amount received from family pension fund. Suppose I am working and I die, but my employer has covered me under a scheme called as family pension fund. Now suppose after my death I receive 2 lakhs rupees. After my death I will not be there. Shall I come from sky and collect my money? Even if I come, that will be of no use to me. So who will collect? My family members. Can the family members be given a new term in law? Yes. Can we also call them legal heirs? Yes. So suppose 2 lakhs rupees after my death have been received by my wife. Now the question arises, this 2 lakhs rupees which has been received by my wife, and my wife is also working and her own income, self-generated income, is 5 lakhs rupees yearly. Over and above this 5 lakhs rupees which she earns, she has received 2 lakhs rupees from family pension fund. Now the question arises, first question, shall my wife be, this income be added to my wife of 2 lakhs rupees? Or shall it not be added? The answer is, it shall be added. Because income tax will not leave you. Even if you die, your legal heirs will receive the amount. Once you die, your legal heirs receive the amount. It becomes taxable. There are certain exceptions. In the case of a government employees, if they receive gratuity, if they receive, pension, then it is not, or say, leave salary. Then, in case of government servants, which are receiving pension, or leave encashment after the death, it is not taxable. Pension received has got certain calculations. Uncommuted pension is always taxable, whether it is a government employee or whether it is a not government employee. So please understand, this is how we have to concentrate. But here, family pension. If I die and I receive provident fund amount, my family members receive provident fund amount, which has been given by my employer to my family. Frankly speaking, provident fund amount is to be given by the PF authorities. I die and I receive PF of rupees 5 lakhs. My family receives PF of rupees 5 lakhs. Shall my family be liable to pay the tax? The answer is no. Provident fund received by the family members after the death of their person shall not be taxable. But family pension, if it is received after the death, then some relief will be given. That is, some relief is given out of family pension. That is 33 1/3% or 15,000 rupees, whichever is lower. 33% or 15,000 rupees, whichever is lower. Naturally, 15,000 is lower here. So 15,000 rupees shall be deducted. An entire 1,85,000 rupees shall be taxable in the hands of my wife. So my wife will be liable to pay the total tax of 6,85,000 because I died. I am dead. Now my wife receives this amount. Entire amount shall not be taxable. Some relief is given, and that relief is given under section 57(2A) of the Income Tax Act. So family pension amount received after the death by the family members shall be exempt to the extent of 15,000, 33 and one third percent, or 15,000, whichever is lower. But this is only applicable to family pension fund. But if I die and I receive PF, my family receives PF, then they will not be liable to pay the tax on this amount because this is tax free. This is tax-free. That's why, my dear students, I tell you very important thing. Apart from this taxation, you must believe not only in creating your income, you must believe in creating your wealth. How you should create your wealth? This is your wealth. Because after some time, you know, in PPF, Public Provident Fund or PF, the rate of interest is, say, 8%. It is compounding. You know the value of compounding. So please understand that you don't have to only create the income. Yes, income is very essential. But please keep on creating wealth. How you will keep on creating wealth in your life? Income is just nothing. Income is just to meet the regular expenses of life. After the end of the year, you will find that you have not saved, you could not save anything for your future generation. What you will do? Your whole life mission gets wasted because what you are struggling for your generation and for yourself. So if you do not create anything better than for your generation, what the hell you are doing here? You must create the income, but you must also have the vision to create the wealth. What happens? Many persons, they save small amount and they don't buy, you know, they don't spend money entirely in their personal, say, shirts, pants, etc. No, they don't spend too much money. Whatever is necessary, they purchase. Because times are very difficult, times are very hard. If you save the money, I don't say that you save every penny. No, you meet your expenses. But if you save the money, this money will be very useful because you may have medical problems. You may have, other problems in the life. You may have, certain contingencies. Some plot of land is available at a cheap price, dirt cheap price. But you don't have money. Nobody will give you money. If you have money, immediately will purchase it. If you have, somebody is having agriculture land, it is available for purchase. It is available. Somebody is offering you. But you don't have money to purchase it. How you will get it? How you will purchase it? Unless you save it. And you must save in, PPF, equity shares, life insurance products, small plots of land. You must start saving. Don't spend money. Times are very, very difficult. If you spend money today, with due respect, I tell you that your generations will never excuse you. You must create wealth. Because wealth is always reflected in the balance sheet, asset side. And income is always reflected in profit and loss account, which is made only yearly basis. Wealth goes forever. If you are wealthy, people will respect you. Your generations will have got this, you know, ground to stand. But if you die without creating the wealth And if you are just surviving on, if you are just earning the minimum subsistence level of your life, and just you are passing the days, you are passing your life, you must do hard work, you must study, you must earn very good, and you must save, and you must invest. If you do not do these things, the times are very difficult. See the situation in Europe, see the situation in Spain, see the situation in Greece, see the situation in Italy. People have no money because they spent on entertainment, they spent on luxury products, they spent on good food, junk food, they deteriorated their health, but they don't have money now. They enjoyed the life. But what about the future? So please understand, my dear students, you must invest in PF and PPF or PF, what do you call it, if it is redeemed after the maturity, it is tax-free. Is that clear? So this is how we have to understand the concept of, what do you call it, this section 57 2A. Now, I bring your attention to a most important section, and that is called as the section 57 of the Income Tax Act, section 57.3. What is section 57.3? Section 57.3 says that only expenses will be allowed, but capital expenses will not be allowed. What is the difference between expenses and capital expenses? The moment the word capital expense comes, you must understand that capital expense generally is nothing but adding value to the asset. Capital expenses add value to the asset. Let us understand. I construct a building. I repair it. This is a revenue expenditure. But if I construct additional floor, that is capital expenditure. So capital expenditure means the asset's value has been increased. Let us take another example. Suppose I have got a camera and I had to spend 5 lakhs rupees to replace the lenses. I had already lenses, but the lenses were not workable. They were hazy. So the picture was not proper. Somebody suggested me good lenses. And I replaced 5 lakhs rupees lenses in that camera. Shall it be treated as a revenue expenditure or a capital expenditure? The answer is, it shall be treated as a capital expenditure, because the value of camera has increased, and this camera shall be used not only for 1 year, it shall be used from year to year to year to year to year. That's why the value increases, and when the value increases, this is called as capital expenditure. This is my house, or this is my office. I installed air conditioner. Is it a revenue expense or is it a capital expenditure? It is a capital expenditure because the value of my office has increased, and this is a plant and machinery. This is not a regular repairs, etc. So please understand the similar analogy we are going to understand in, what you call it, section 57.3, which says that only expenses, that is revenue expenses shall be allowed as a deduction. Capital expenditure shall not be allowed as a deduction, because it gives value to the asset. Capital expenditure will go in the balance sheet. Revenue expenditure comes in the profit and loss account, debit side. That's why. Is that clear? So revenue expense shall be allowed as a deduction. Capital expenditure shall not be allowed as a deduction under section 57, subsection 3 of the Income Tax Act.
Is that clear?
Now, we have seen what are the deductions allowable while computing the income from other sources. But now we are on the topic that even I spend money, sometimes that amount cannot be treated. Even it is an actual expenditure, it may not be allowed as a deduction. So what is not allowed as a deduction is given under section 58 of the Income Tax Act. What is allowable deductions? The list is enumerated under section 57 of the Income Tax Act. But what is not allowed as a deduction is given under section 58 of the Income Tax Act. So section 58 says, section 58 subsection 1 says that personal expenses shall not be allowed as a deduction. Yes, naturally. If the expenditure is of personal in nature, I cannot claim the deduction under section 58 of the Income Tax Act. So, I go to Calcutta, I go to Mumbai, I go to Delhi, I go to Mumbai, and this is a personal tour. Can I claim the deduction? The answer is no. Mind it well, the most important point of claiming the deduction is that the expenses must be wholly, exclusively incurred for the purposes of earning that income. So, if the expenses are not incurred for earning that income, then that shall not be allowed as a deduction. So, first is, while computing the income from other sources also, if there is any expense which is in the form of personal expense, suppose you let out your plant and machinery. And you get 5 lakhs rupees as rental income. Now, you go to, say, USA for a personal trip, and the cost of the travel is 2 lakhs rupees. This cannot be allowed as a deduction. You will have to pay tax only on 5 lakhs rupees because it is a personal expense. So, personal expense cannot be allowed as a deduction. It must be, for the purpose of business. And you must have seen the same analogy while understanding profits and gains of business or profession under section 37 of the Income Tax Act. If the expense is in the form of a personal expense, it shall not be allowed as a deduction under section 37 of the Income Tax Act. Similarly, section 37, now I am relating to section 58 of the Income Tax Act. So there is a nexus between section 37 and section 58, which says that if the personal expense is there, it cannot be allowed as a deduction also while calculating the income from other sources. Is that clear? Now, once we have understood this, now what is not allowed next is here. That is, the interest paid without TDS. If you fail to deduct the tax, then that amount of interest shall not be allowed as a deduction. Now I want to tell you about a very important section, section 58 subsection 4. What section 58 subsection 4 says? That the expenses on lottery, crossword puzzles, etc. shall not be allowed as a deduction. If I get lottery prize I cannot say that the cost of the, suppose I get 2 lakhs rupees lottery. And I say the 10,000 rupees was the lottery price, the cost of the lottery. I cannot say that my taxable income is 1,90,000. This expenses for the purchase of lottery, crossword puzzles, income, etc. Expenses on the income, which is defined under section 2, subsection 24, subsection 9. In respect of lottery, gambling, crossword puzzles, betting, these expenses shall not be allowed as a deduction under section 58, subsection 4 of the Income Tax Act. Under section 58, subsection 4 of the Income Tax Act. So, my dear friends, this is how we conclude the chapter. We started the journey of income from other sources by stating, by enumerating the points laid down under section 56 of the Income Tax Act. 56 is the income. What are the incomes which can be treated as income from other sources? There we learned dividend is income from other sources. Interest from banks will be treated as income from other sources. Interest on debentures will be treated as income from other sources. Lottery income will be treated as income from other sources. Gifts above 50,000 from a non-relative will be treated as income from other sources, etc., etc. In the stream, I also told you section 56, subsection 2, subsection 6, and section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7, which talks about gifts. So please do read that very carefully. After considering the income, I told you that income cannot be taxed on gross basis. So section income from other sources has got the deductions, that these are the available deductions while calculating the income from other sources. So section 57 is the deductions which are allowable under the law. So that will be treated as a deduction. And last, what is not deductible is given under section 58 of the Income Tax Act. So this is how we complete the journey of income from other sources. Thank you very much.